six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Make it to the finals.
They look up to us. It's very important to interact.
You mean everything.
So what if I want to move this?
I want to get here so bad. I will be here.
Brown speaking his success into existence, and here's what it looks like tonight.
Quarter better than they did in game one. Curry cooking a colossal three.
More juice. Turn it up. It's the playoffs.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding
on the Athletic NBA Show.
What's the work that you do during both the summer and the season that enables you not just to keep your conditioning sharp, but also to be able to be constantly running around when you're on the court?
I've always had that since high school, but again, it's not like one thing you do in the summer. It's an accumulation of every year, all the work that you put in that continues to show itself throughout your career, throughout the season, playoffs, and you know, every year that I get an opportunity to play on this level. So I do pride myself on trying to be, you know, the hardest worker, the most consistent worker. Maybe the last two or three years you work a lot smarter than harder, just a little bit more often, especially in the off season. But that's that old saying, like what you do in the summer shows up, you know, at moments like these. So doing my job.
Ding ding. How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your NBA Finals Game 2 recap. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA Show. Game 2. Two Warriors third quarters so far, Keith, in the finals. And this one in Game 2 was one that was a throwback. Third quarter for the Warriors. The Warriors win game two to even the series with the Boston Celtics 107-88 on the back of an old school throwback Warriors third quarter, Keith.
Yeah, and honestly, they did it in game one as well, but game one, of course, had the huge Austin rally. There was no miracle Austin rally in this one. The third quarter avalanche totally put the Celtics out. 35-14 advantage to the Warriors. You saw Steph Curry. I think he might have his eyes. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he might have his eyes on that Finals MVP. His performance through two games, he has wrested the MVP race from Al Horford. Am I right? I think Al Horford, early clubhouse leader, Al had 2 points in this game two loss.
Yeah, I don't think Al Horford is going to be competing with Steph Curry for any awards here. Let's start at the beginning of the game. And one of the big differences, Keith, that I thought for the Warriors was their defense, man. Their defense in this game was fantastic start to finish. But it started with Draymond Green in the first. He was jumping out on the ball handler at the point of attack, guarding Jaylen Brown, and you had Wiggins on Tatum. And I thought that right away, that was a huge move. First possession, he jumps out on Al Horford up top, forces a jump ball. I mean, this was the sort of intensity that we've come to expect from Draymond, but it was great to see it, especially after he was podcasting 10 minutes after game one. So, Keith, the defense just right away, much better for the Warriors. And Draymond just, you just like the fire. Now, he picks up a technical early in this one. And then later on in the game gets tied up with Jaylen Brown a little bit. And they go to the review, Keith. And now, correct me if I'm wrong here. If this is a regular season game, if it's the first quarter, this is a classic case of a double
tech.
That's
what they were saying on the broadcast. It would have been a very soft double tech, and I thought it was interesting to hear Steve Javy kind of side with Jeff Van Gundy and say, like, listen, you have to be aware, you know, that a player has a technical foul in the situation, and so we default, all right, we're not going to call a very soft double tech here. And obviously everyone cheering against the Warriors is outraged. Everyone who cheers against Draymond is outraged for the fire, as you call it. It was really funny where ABC showed like a montage of him shoving people. And they were like, look at this leadership. And you're like, that's not really. I guess that's leadership. Maybe it gives the Warriors their edge. Like you said, the defense was really excellent all night. Yes, the Celtics missed some shots, but they finished 40% on three-pointers. It was that two-pointers. They couldn't score. They couldn't get open looks. They couldn't beat their man.
Yeah, and in spite of the Warriors' rise in defensive intensity to start the game, it actually looked like a continuation of the fourth quarter right at the start. Jaylen Brown hit a couple of threes in like the first minute and a half of the game. Boston hit its first five shots of the game and then went 0 of 7. But they were just missing good looks. And even though the Warriors were forcing them into the position where they had to work to get shots, they wound up with some good looks, just couldn't hit them. And early on, I thought Boston's defensive activity was still good. Al Horford was chasing Steph Curry around the perimeter. But Steph Curry is just back to being Steph.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams are just awesome at defense. That's the thing we knew about it coming in, and we really saw it in that first half where there was shot-making, Jaylen Brown making some shots, Jason Tatum was on fire for three-point range. The Celtics made 10 out of 19 threes in that first half. But it's just, despite all that, it was a two-point game, 52-50, because these teams they're locked in mortal battle. And it felt like, kind of like, this is just going to be a knockdown dragout until, of course, the Celtics got blown out of the water with that Warriors third quarter. Also, one thing that maybe contributed to the defense was a slight playing change because of Andre Iguodala being unavailable for game two. And so we got to see the return of Gary Payton too. And I thought he looked excellent. He looked excellent out there, giving them that glue guy, that hustle guy, that energy defender that really has fit in so well with that team all year.
Yeah, Gary Payton and Otto Porter played huge minutes in this game tonight. And I thought that they helped them on both ends, but in particular on the defensive end. And it allowed them to not have to go to Jordan Poole when he was getting cooked a little bit. But I think it's a good time to talk about that third quarter because it happened. Unfortunately for the Boston Celtics, they happen every game, and they're going to happen for the next at least four or five games. So the Warriors' third quarter, they win the quarter 35-14. Steph had 14 in the quarter, and he was back to just – he's hitting some of these shots that we used to expect him to hit, that now we've watched him just miss for the last few months. He's hitting those again, Keith. The 30-footers off the dribble, doesn't matter. Yes, going in.
Steph looks incredible. And you know, the Warriors put up 35, which is impressive against the Celtics defense. But also it's like Steph's making enough three-pointers where you're feeling like, all right, man, this is that avalanche that a lot of teams can't match. But when you combine those Steph three-pointers with this defense that just totally shut down the Celtics. The Celtics couldn't get anything going. Like, that's how you had to pull away. And then, of course, you get the pool near half quarter to finish the quarter, which if you're Steph Curry and, like, that's been your thing your whole career, the feeling it must be to have a teammate help you out and do that in the finals, to be like, I don't have to do this by myself. I have a buddy here who this Jordan Poole guy can just step back 40-footer at the buzzer.
Yeah, so Steph finishes the game with 29 points. Again, there was a lot of garbage time here, so some of these numbers are going to be depressed a bit. Jordan Poole had 17. You mentioned the half-court buzzer beater three. Well, he had a three right before that. The previous possession, he had a three. And Keith, one of the things that we've seen with Jordan Poole is that his confidence has sort of waxed and waned. And it affects him on both ends. Even on the defensive end, when his shot's not falling, he tends to, I'm not going to say he's a worse defender, but it just seems to sort of cascade into worse decisions, trying to make plays, trying to press. He's a young player. This is what they do. You got to be a little bit worried if you're Boston, because it seemed like Poole got himself going a little bit, not just in the third, but also at the beginning of the fourth. I mean, he was cooking.
Right. He had a slow first half, and it wasn't until those two three-pointers in the third quarter we really kind of, put together a little nice 1-2 punch. The fourth quarter, it was all garbage time. You wondered, all right, is Poole kind of getting his leg so he can help the team later in this series? And especially, you want Poole to be able to do that at home where role players are maybe doing a little bit better. I mean, Otto Porter, like, I think he's 5 out of 6 on three-pointers in this series. Like, is that going to travel when the series shifts to Boston? The other guy who really struggled this game for the Warriors, Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson was a mess, 4 for 19 from the field. He was playing late, and it was almost like, are they just trying to get him right?
Yeah, he did hit a three right at the start of that third quarter run after halftime. And I don't know, he just didn't look right. And when he's going off the dribble so much, seems like a lot of his shots are landing front rim. You have to start thinking maybe it's fatigue. Obviously, you know, he hasn't been playing basketball that long since coming back from the knee and the Achilles. So you wonder if it's just a little bit of, I'm at the end of my rope right now. And maybe they did play him late, trying to play him into sort of rhythm. But Keith, I don't know. It's just not happening. These post-ups, they keep trying to post up Klay Thompson on Peyton Pritchard, and it's just getting the Warriors nowhere. Why would you depress your chaos offense for that?
I think they're just comfortable kind of being more relaxed, not as structured. Like, hey, if Klay's trying to post this guy up, it's fine. I mean, I think people have rightly pointed out that Klay Thompson this entire postseason, they're virtually his career numbers. Like, he's been right there. This is finally one, like, this is a quite bad game. You know, it's a very below or subpar game for Klay Thompson. But, I mean, Klay Thompson's just waiting for that game five, game six, right? You know he's going to be there. He gets juiced up for the games that really matter. You know, he doesn't even feel it anymore. Game two of the finals, he needs something a little harder, I think.
Yeah, and for Boston, we've got to talk about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the two stars. 28 points for Tatum in this game. But Keith, look, man, he hit a bunch of threes, but the 28 points feels a little empty to me. And most of that is because there was no playmaking from him whatsoever.
Well, I think it's the second half numbers, and they didn't play very, very much in the fourth quarter, but like they had nothing. You know, they had these big first halves, and then they finished with these very subpar second half numbers. And Tatum, I mean, he was minus 27 in just the second half as far as the plus minus. And like, that's just brutal. And you're not getting enough, but also, like, you know, game one, the victory, it wasn't, yes, Tatum and Brown were huge, but the story of the game was Al Horford, Derek White, Marcus Smart. Look at their stats in game two. And you're like, oh, Al had two. Marcus had two. Like, that's not going to get it done.
And Derek White was 4 of 13 in this game. And that's exactly why Derek White got so many opportunities to shoot the ball in game one. Mm-hmm. Because the expectation of the Warriors, I mean, someone's going to take shots for the opposing team. The Warriors, yeah, they got beat by Al Horford and Derek White in game one. In game two, like you just mentioned, you got 2 points from Al Horford.
I think another big issue besides those non-Jalen and Jason players not having the offensive games you'd expect is Robert Williams, who in game one looked healthier, and the injury report came out that he was questionable for this one. And it was like, all right, did he get banged up again? He's obviously been fighting this injury the entire playoffs. And we saw it. He didn't have very much in the tank for the team, can only play a few minutes. And when he was out there, it's not the same mobility, not the same explosion on defense. And that's a big factor. And that's just something they're going to have to keep fighting with as the series goes along. But that felt like a big issue, especially when this Warriors team, they're so active. When like Wiggins is on the board and Looney's on the board and not having a fully healthy Time Lord. You saw it again tonight. We're like, all right, that's, you know, he's clearly limited.
Yeah, and if the Celtics can't solve their live ball turnover problem, this series is going to shift back to the Warriors being favored, because this has been a concern for Boston all playoff long. The handle is loose for their main facilitators, but tonight was just, it was one of the worst performances I've seen from this team since, you know, January, really, like with the ball. They just did not protect the ball at all.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like when I see the Celtics turning the ball over, I do feel like they're being careless. And like the Warriors are famous for being careless with the basketball and turning it over. This one, I felt like maybe my personal judgment meter was closer towards crediting the Warriors for just actually playing really nice defense and like applying that pressure and making guys who are not the best of ball handlers beat you and this pressure. Yeah, it led to 33 points off turnovers for the Warriors, which is a massive number. And like, that's a lot to overcome for a Celtics team. But I still have this matchup. It's totally even in my mind. Like, this is just, it's going to, like, we're going back to Boston. Any number of strange bounces, strange calls, double technicals called in the first quarter that the refs forget about when they call a soft one later in the game and ejections. I don't know. Like, it can go either way. It's been so entertaining so far. Like, are you moved at all based on what you've seen through two games where you're like, oh, I think the Warriors do have an advantage, or the Celtics are like, ah, maybe I favor them.
I mean, I think Steph Curry's performance in the first two games makes it pretty hard for me to count the Warriors out at all. He's by far the best player in this series. And if he can get help, and it comes on the defensive end most nights from the Warriors, but he got help tonight. And I think that if they can do that consistently, I think Steph is back. I think this is just, he's back. Whatever groove he was missing, he's now back on rhythm. And I think that I'm going to shift my opinion from game to game is kind of how this series is going to go.
Fair.
Because I do think that there is going to be a little bit of front running in this series at some point. If Golden State can go in and take game three, they win the series. But if Boston wins game three, I won't feel that way.
Yeah.
So I know that's a little bit of like, I've kind of Marcus Thompson this answer here by giving you like six different answers. But the truth is it changes quarter to quarter.
Yeah. And we haven't had a Jason Tatum game yet. You know, he's struggling with his shot. You give the credit to the Warriors, the way they're defending him. He had a lot of great playmaking moments in game one, not as much in game two, just kind of like that great first half, knocking on those three pointers. And then like an overall, just like an okay game, but like he clearly in the second half in that third quarter, whatever it is for the whole Celtics, that like they just couldn't get it going. And that continues to kind of be a problem for the team that they're going to have to address going forward.
Next question on the left.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Steph, Draymond was talking about how you were patient to start the game, and then obviously you took over in the third quarter. Does your finals experience and all the playoff games you played, would you say you're better at kind of sensing those moments and when to, you know, step off the gas and when to go, et cetera?
Yeah, that's an accumulation of the last, you know, 2 years of trying to figure that out and balance. Kind of to a question earlier of the scoring load, the playmaking load, and everything that you try to accomplish throughout the game. So I try to be under control, composed, see the game, feel the, you know, the flow and the rhythm, and know where I can get to my spots. And there's definitely a lot of composure there. And based on the experience of, you know, 15 to 19 and in these last 2 years.
Anthony?
Al Horford doesn't even get up a three tonight. Marcus Smart, I just think, went 0 of 3. What just What do you think you guys did much better defensively to shut off some of those holes?
Just the level of focus to start the game. We look back at game one, and there were between Marcus, Al Horford, and Derek White, there were like maybe four or five shots that they got in the first half that were just uncontested, and they're professionals. They play this game just like we do. And you understand if the shoe's on the other foot and we're getting those type of shots, that carries over through the rest of the game, and you start searching a little bit more, you start feeling a little bit more comfortable. So for us to come out in the first quarter with a level of intensity and focus to obviously with Jalen and Jason, what they do with the ball in their hands, they're tough covers, so you have to keep – it's more obvious what you need to do on those guys, but then certain possessions we took, kept the body on Al, you know, try to force Marcus into a crowd, and I think that carried over the rest of the game. So we have to continue to try to do that because they're liable to get hot at any moment.
What's the work that you do?
Okay, Keith, a little bit of news that's non-NBA Finals related, because the Utah Jazz, of course, did not make the NBA Finals. Utah Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder has resigned from that position, Keith. And I don't know, this seems like it's been brewing for a minute. He obviously has been thrown out there in Laker rumors, but the Lakers have hired a coach. So he's walking away with a year left on his deal. It's a little weird, but it's not out of the blue.
It's not out of the blue. It's one of those news stories where, honestly, I thought to myself, that hadn't happened yet. Like, I think I kind of had already moved on, where I was like, I thought Quinn Snyder was going to, you know, do something else. So now the Jazz, they got a lot of decisions to make. I mean, they're in a tough spot as a franchise where you have very good players, and even a couple of, like, Gobert and Mitchell aren't that old. They're basically young players, but is the fit perfect? And now they need a coach.
They sit at the same table when they eat sometimes. You know, I don't know if they ride to practice together. Probably not.
And right on cue, the reports start to circulate out of Utah that Donovan Mitchell is a little bit unnerved by the situation. Seems to me, Keith, like there's... The PR campaign is being laid out right in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, he's just posturing for either I need a heavy amount of input in who the next coach is, or I just, you know, just need to get my posture ready for what comes next.
Yeah, and when you look at the list of potential candidates to replace Quinn Snyder, Johnny Bryant, Alex Jensen, Terry Stotts. Johnny Bryant was an assistant there. Apparently has a great relationship with Donovan Mitchell. So that's a name to watch in particular if the Jazz can solve whatever the internal issues are with them and Donovan Mitchell as far as the direction of the franchise goes. That's going to do it for this show. Folks, hope you guys are enjoying the finals. For Keith, I'm Dave. Keith, let's get out of here.
Dang, dang.